Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Hump day. Match day. Jason Longshore going to join us from the Atlanta United broadcast team coming up in about 25 minutes. As Atlanta United looks to bounce back, man. They got an opportunity tonight against Inter Miami, who's not very good, to get back in the win column. And they didn't look good against Orlando. And they lost to Orlando for the first time in club history. And it's fitting that that would happen right now, because as much as, you know, we don't want to give Orlando credit, and I respect Carlos Bocanegra for begrudgingly doing that. I mean, if it was going to happen, right now is the time for it to happen, because Atlanta United's not playing very good. They're in a transitional period.
It still ain't no rivalry, because we put foots in them.
So, yeah.
But okay. It's going to be interesting to talk to Jason. Now, did you see what I told you to see?
Yes, I did.
Okay. What you think?
Yes. Well, I think it's interesting.
Okay.
And we're going to – I don't think we're going to say anything about it now, though.
No, I didn't want to see – I didn't want to say anything, because I was like, I'm going to stay away from that, because, you know, we don't want to start no problems.
Yeah. You know, but if something happens, offended, then we'll
I'm
say
sure
something
somebody, I'm sure there's somebody probably back somewhere, probably at station, salty.
We just got to, you know, if something happens, then we'll talk about it, and we'll tell people about it.
Yeah, it happened at 2:01.
Probably will, yeah. if anything interesting happens today, you know, news-wise, it'll probably be when Dukes and Bell start. Even my daughter understands how that works, okay? She could have very well been born between 10 to 2, and she decided to stay put till 3:22. She didn't want to cut it close either. She was like, I'm going to get in the 3 o'clock hour when Dukes and Bell's listenership really goes up. I can't be born during Andy and Randy. They don't have enough of an audience.
Whatever. Yeah, that's all good, though. It's all good.
It is good. Jason Longshore going to join us in 20 minutes. We'll talk some Atlanta United. Then AMA at 1:40.
Yes.
As always, I'm not telling anyone anything new, and I've got some good AMA questions, both as DMs and on Twitter.
Mostly men?
All men, yes. Only men slide into the DMs. So you actually invited a bunch of dudes into my DMs earlier today, by the way.
Wow.
I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but
when
I was complaining about Brian being an opter-outer of our fantasy college
league. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You said Andy's looking for a fantasy college league, and I'm glad the listeners heard you and they're listening and they want to play along. But I had like 7 different dudes slide in my DMs about playing college fantasy football. So,
all right, that's cool. I don't want you to be alone, Andy. All right.
I don't
want
to be
Nobody should be a one-man fantasy league. You need at least 2 guys.
What's the least amount of people you could have and play in a legitimate fantasy league?
I don't know. I don't play. I don't do fantasy leagues, Andy. I have a life.
You're the fantasy football champion of 92.9 The Game.
First of all, I was forced to do it. So let's stop. Don't act like I volunteered to do this. Okay,
but
do
wait,
that.
Like you can't have it both ways. You can't be the champion with the belt and also think fantasy is lame. Like
I don't think fantasy is lame. That was just a crazy joke. But I'm not like that. You know, I was just playing y'all fantasy. So I don't need them fantasy thugs after me right now. All right, I got you know what I'm saying. I ain't got time to be fighting off fantasy nerds. All right. Okay, I think fantasy sports is cool. I hated it as a player, because if you were coming to me and say, I need these points, man, I would want to kick you in your neck.
Randy McMichael was a sneaky good tight end pickup, though.
The thing about it is that I didn't care, all right? I don't give a damn about your fantasy. But this is just the player. You better get the hell out of my face. Hey, bro, yeah, I needed one more catch from you the other week, man. Made me lose my fantasy. Shut the hell up. You know what I mean?
You also had versatility position-wise because you could be a fullback and a tight end.
It would always be at the weirdest places when you would hear it, too.
Okay.
The weirdest places. They would come.
Like, where?
Hey,
like,
bro.
People in public would say that to you?
Yeah.
Can you imagine actually saying that to somebody?
Like, but then it would not go the way that they anticipated it going. What I tell you, Andy, I'm a confrontational cusser.
You are. There's no doubt about it. There's.
And my favorite thing is if you don't get out my face with your fantasy, and that's how it would go. And they would turn this litter around and walk away. The hell out of my face. I'm up here trying to drink, and you over here come out some damn fantasy football. Hell.
Brian says
we won the game.
Brian says you need 8 for a legit fantasy league.
Oh, really?
Scott,
okay.
Scott on Twitter. Scott says you need 10. You need 10
really?
To have a legit.
I don't. I don't know. I don't, yeah, but yeah. You know what's funny? I didn't know. See, okay. So you need 10. Okay. Well, Andy, if you need it, all right, I'll be a good partner, Andy. If you need somebody to play in your fantasy league, I got a couple guys I know.
What?
Oh, did you think I was going to volunteer?
Yeah, I was like,
oh, cool, hell
Randy's
no.
Gonna play? Awesome. All right, whatever. Yeah, let's get to what's trending. Enough of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
High towering fly ball deep center. Make it a 3-homer night. Wow, over the batter's eye in straightaway center.
I don't know if I've ever seen a ball go up there at Fenway.
I was just saying honest. The same thing. Up where the cameras are, above
Holy.
The batter's eye. I can't wait for the tail of the tape Great on call. That, baby. The Braves with a 10-2 lead. Ozuna with 3 homers and 6 RBIs.
Before we jump into the incredible night that Marcell Ozuna had last night, I would be a bad teammate if I did not mention that Brian Gebhardt and Bo Johnson host a fantasy podcast on our website
yes.
every single week. There's a new one out today. 2 Dudes, Same Fantasy. Check it out for all your fantasy football needs. We just talked about fantasy football and didn't mention that. Now, if you play fantasy baseball and Marcell Ozuna was on your fantasy baseball team last night,
yeah.
you are very happy with that man. One of the most unbelievable performances we've seen this year in Major League Baseball. Record-setting for Fenway Park, which is crazy. I mean, Fenway Park's been there forever. For Marcell Ozuna to be the first National League designated hitter to hit 3 home runs at Fenway, he's that, so he's got that on his resume. He's the first National League player to hit 3 home runs at Fenway Park, so he's got that on his resume. And I think what Marcell Ozuna needs on his resume next is a long-term contract with the Atlanta Braves, because this dude has middle-of-the-lineup power DH written all over him. He seems to fit in great with the team. Well, I mean, we were raving about him earlier. What an awesome guy he seems like. I love Marcell Ozuna. Sign him up.
Yeah, I'm with you right there, man. He had a really great game yesterday, and let's just hope it continues. He's found his niche as the DH. We prefer him not to be out in the field, but, you know, he's a player that if they need be, he can play out there. But, yeah, I mean, just a destruction of baseballs yesterday. He a destruction of them balls. I mean, Andy, he had a problem with them, and it was just like – they were all shots. That's the thing about it, and they weren't no, hey, will it make it? No, when that ball is hit like that as an outfielder, you don't even turn around.
I love that when the outfielder doesn't even budge.
Yeah.
It just hits so damn far over his head, he doesn't even budge. Yeah, the center fielder could have done that certainly could have done it on the third one, but all 3 of them were crushed. What'd you say, you're a confrontational cusser?
Huh?
You said you're a confrontational cusser, right?
Yeah, you know that.
Marcell Ozuna is a confrontational hitter. That's what
he was doing.
It was a confrontation at the plate last night. He hit 1,300 feet of home runs last night, Randy.
He said what now?
He hit 1,300 feet of home runs last night. If you add all 3 of them together, a quarter of a mile's worth of home runs Marcell Ozuna hit last night at Fenway Park.
Damn.
Yeah.
He went in. That's all I can say. He went in. He went in. So.
And it's no coincidence that the neon sleeve is back as well. He was so good.
I told
last
you,
night,
man.
Brian Snicker reacted like this.
Yeah, because didn't they have a problem with him wearing it when he was with the Cardinals?
Of course they did. The Cardinals have a problem with it.
And he wore it anyways. And when he got here, he was trying to be nice, trying to fit in, wearing the white sleeve. Hell no, man. We just heard you talk for the first time. If you don't wear that damn sleeve, no. I bet he wore that sleeve everywhere. Even when he ain't playing, I bet he wear it around the house.
I'd wear one. I'd wear a little Marcelo Zuna neon sleeve to support the guy.
I can't do that. But I'm glad that he was able to go out there and get it done.
You can get a lot done with warm elbows, Randy. Let's hear from Brian Snicker. I don't know what it doesn't mean. Here's Brian Snicker.
Both of them. All three of them were hit good, but the second one was hit harder, I thought, than the first. And then the third one was like, my God. This road trip, he's hit some balls extremely hard. I don't know. I haven't seen any exit velocities or anything, but that ball comes off his bat. Unbelievable.
I do love that Snit had to get in the little jab at exit velocity at the end just to make sure we know that he doesn't care about that. The ball was hit hard. That's what matters. It went over the fence. That was a big part of the story last night. Marcelo Zuna's three home runs. Another big part of the story last night was Ian Anderson making his second major league start and getting his second major league win. He went six innings. He struck out eight more guys. He only walked one, and he's the second starter in the rotation, Randy. Like, partially by default, but partially by earning it. He's number two. Max Fried, Ian Anderson. After that, we'll try to figure it out as we go. But you got to love what the young guy has done in two starts.
I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's been against, you know, two. I mean, we know that the Red Sox aren't who they usually are. But, I mean, you get your first two wins against the Yankees and the Sox. I mean, that's a big deal for that young man, especially knowing that he was a big Red Sox fan growing up. But got in a little trouble, but didn't seem troubled about it. You know, didn't seem panicky, was still able to go out there and get the win, get out there eight strikeouts, but most importantly got the six innings. I mean, you both thought after the fifth inning that Brian Snicker was going to pull him, let him go back out there, work his way through some things. And he is definitely entrenched as a number two starter, man. He is.
He absolutely is. And, you know, couldn't have come at a better time. I mean, literally desperate times for the Braves as far as their starting rotation goes. Robbie Erlund starts tonight. Robbie Erlund goes tonight. I'm going to give him a nickname as long as he's in the starting rotation.
Hurlin'
Robbie Erlund. And I mean throwing the ball, not throwing up.
Okay.
Maybe he'll make you throw up. He did.
I don't know.
The first time he pitched for the Braves.
Yeah, he's awful.
Then you got your guy Tommy Malone, who you're giving a second
chance
to. Why
is he my guy?
Well, because you're the one who wants to give him a second chance. I said trade him back to Baltimore for himself. Allow Tommy Malone to be the player to be named later that he was traded for.
I just don't think it's time to give up on him that quick.
Well, and that's why he's your guy. Oh, I appreciate your resiliency.
No, he ain't my damn guy.
Tommy
he ain't
Malone.
My damn guy. Don't be putting guys on me, Andy.
I won't put any guys on you. What was I going to do? All right, let's hear Dan Quinn talk about Dante Fowler. How about?
Well, I think, one, you feel his speed, and you did right from the very beginning, his get off and his relentlessness to rush. But, it's a number of guys, Paul, that really factors into it. It's the blitz package, yes, but in the four-man rush, that's Grady, and Bailey's going to have a different role in there. Davidson, when he gets back, will certainly have a role as a part of that, and McKinley. So the more of that group, that we keep working, keep pushing it, those would be big factors in that.
Again, aggressive type in D-led there in the background. but Dan Quinn with some high praise for Dante Fowler, which you want to hear. I hope that lasts all season long because Dante Fowler is a big contributor to the Falcons pass rush. Some not so great news we got yesterday, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's set in stone, but possible that Marlon Davidson could miss the opening game against the Seattle Seahawks. Second round draft pick, a guy that you expect to also be a big part of the defensive line. You didn't want to hear that yesterday. And I guess we'll find out as the week goes on what that looks like for him. The final scrimmage tomorrow. Randy, they're going to be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium scrimmaging tomorrow. They got cuts on Saturday, and then next week is game week. Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons, game week, week one.
Man.
It's great.
It is coming. It is coming, and this is a big-time test for a lot of these guys who are on the back end of the roster, not just for the Falcons, but for everybody who's going to try to get an opportunity to earn a roster spot. And they are going to – I don't know how much what they're going to do. I know they're going to probably do a lot of live with a lot of the younger guys or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, it's here, man. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be sitting watching Jacksonville. I'm sorry. No, we're not going to watch Jacksonville. We're going to be watching Houston and Kansas City. And, that Kansas City just got their rings last night. We know how, in the playoffs last year what happened, how Patrick Mahomes and them, what are they now, 24, and ended up coming back and winning that football game.
Yeah. Did Mecole Hardman drop his ring?
Yes, the video is hilarious, man. It's hilarious because he dropped it, then looked around to make sure nobody saw he dropped it.
But somebody did because the camera was on.
Yes, which is the greatest thing ever, man. Good for him. Good for him, man. I always love to see dogs with Super Bowl rings. And, you know, Biko right up the road from not too, well, no, Elberton, a little hump. But, yeah.
I mean, it's happy in the state.
Him, happy for him. What's that?
The city that he's from, Elberton? It's in the state.
Well, I told you, he come from a fast family. Because his people, I remember them in high school in track, that Elba County track team, that 4x1 with Kenny them. Man, Kenny them used to show up into the track meet with damn fur coats on and stuff. in track here in Georgia, like we're up in Jefferson, like it's hot as hell up there. Them cats up there with damn fur coats on. But when I tell you, you want to see them in that 4x1?
Boom! Nah, I trust you. I believe you. You know, the first high school football game in the state is tonight.
Huh?
The first high school
football game. Oh, yeah, Coke and Kale's tonight, right?
Is going on tonight.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is your son playing this year? Is he playing football this year?
Yeah.
Are they playing? Like, are things normal?
Yeah. They moved the season back to later, till next week. But, yeah, everything's cool, man. I mean, football's going to be football here. But I did see something because Carl retweeted it, and I wish I could find it because there's a metro school that has decided to postpone their first two games of the season. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to get some high school football. I told you last week I sat there and watched Deion Sanders' son play. He played against T. Martin. T. Martin's son is a quarterback for the team that they played against. Huh. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. That's
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's kind of a sign of getting older as a sports fan. It's happening in Major League Baseball right now. Yeah. The guys you grew up watching, for you guys you played with, now their sons are either high school or college, sometime professional. It's one of those transitions you make as a sports fan. Kind of makes you feel older. Man. I watched his dad. Now his
I love it. Man, Andy, that Andy and Randy coat out of context phase, it had me in tears last night.
Yeah.
Dude,
we say silly stuff on this radio show.
I said she was smelling active. God, and I just came across
smelling
it.
Said, active,
smelling damn active.
We'll come back. Jason Longshore going to join us. Atlanta United match day. They got Inter Miami tonight. What do they need to do to win? Jason Longshore will tell us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a great song. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Run the Jewels. What?
No, my wife just came in here to give me some sugar.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
But no, she something's different about her. Oh, she dyed her hair. Oh, she's red haired. She dyed her hair red.
That's awesome.
You know, I like redheads. I just
keep
kidding.
It together. She dyed her hair. We'll be here soon. 2 o'clock will be here soon. You can get all the red hair you need. We're 20 minutes away from an AMA. Any question, any topic, get them in. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Phone line, same number. Give us a phone call and ask a question. That way, Twitter, at TBM929, at RandyMac81, at Wendy Radio. We will answer your questions coming up 20 minutes from right now. And Jason Longshore is here with us, as he always is on Wednesdays at 1:20, to answer some of our questions. And we'll start with the rumors circulating right now in the world of Atlanta United, Jason, which is Pitty Martinez related. What do we know about the Pitty Martinez rumors?
Yeah, this just hit. Cesar Luis Merlo out of Argentina with TEC. He's one of the most respected reporters in Argentina. He tweeted out about 11:30 that Pitty Martinez is reportedly a target for Al Nassr, which is a club in Saudi Arabia. $18 million offer is what Merlo is reporting. He says that the club and the player are both evaluating it. This is a club that is also reportedly chasing Mesut Ozil of Arsenal. And in the reporting about chasing Ozil, which it doesn't sound like that one's going to happen. Ozil's 4 years older than Pitty Martinez, hasn't played as much lately at Arsenal. But some of the reporting on Ozil was that the club was reportedly offering him a $20 million a year contract.
Whoa.
Now, you got to remember, the contracts are different than the transfer fees.
Sure.
Merlo hasn't reported anything about the contract offer for Pitty Martinez, but if they're offering Ozil $20 million per year, you're talking mega contract dollars, and that's got to be something that's going to tempt a player.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to say it like that.
I mean, it's facts. Like, you know, is the Saudi Arabian League as strong as MLS? No, it's not. It's very top heavy. This is a club that has played in the Club World Cup. This is a club that is consistently in the Asian Champions League. They won the last season of the Saudi Arabian Professional League. Looks like they're going to finish second with a couple rounds left in this current season before they re-rack it for next year. But this is a club with big ambitions, and if you're chasing Mesut Ozil, you're linked to these kind of players. They've paid this kind of money in transfer fees before. You know, you start looking, is this a rumor that you can maybe put some stock in? It's not as crazy as some of them we've heard.
Huh. Yeah, that's true, man. I'm telling you this. I don't give a damn how top heavy or whatever. You give me 20 a year, I'd be over in Saudi Arabia. Because, like, I mean, but when you look at the $18 million, is that a good deal for Pitti, or should they be maybe required or asked for more?
Well, I think you're always going to try to get more, and right. You don't know how this goes down for sure. Even at 18, it's a profit, you know? Mm-hmm. And look, the world's changed since you paid the transfer fee for Pitti Martinez. That was reportedly in the $15 million range. We're talking about a very different market right now in 2020 than we were at the beginning of last year, the end of 2018. Everything's changed. You know, clubs who have money or had money then maybe don't have money now to spend, and some clubs still have money to spend, and they're able to take advantage of some changes. So, you know, if you're able to still make a profit, it's a good deal, you know? I mean, if you can get more, obviously you want to get as much as you can, but there's a lot of things that check off here. This has been very unexpected. It came out of nowhere, but it's good money.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, that's a part of what the plan is with guys like Pitti Martinez, isn't it? You bring them in for money. Hopefully they have great success while they're here, and then you sell them for more money. I mean, that's a business model that many soccer teams use, but that's obviously one that Atlanta United has been trying to use. We know that they had success that way with Miguel Almiron. Like, we know with guys like Pitti and Barco and others, you bring them in, ideally you get the most out of them for a couple of years, and then you sell them for more. Like, this, I know it's surprising that this rumor came out of nowhere, but it's not surprising that this would be what they would try to do with Pitti, is it?
No, it's not. I think Pitti came to the United States hoping that his run here would materialize in an offer that he wasn't seeing when he was playing at River Plate from a European club. Again, the world's changed. You know, we're in a very different situation now. And if you're able to go and probably make more money than he would have at a European club, the club's still going to benefit from it here. And I've seen some of the comments online about this as it'd be setting a bad precedent because you'd be selling a player to a lesser league instead of what happened with Miguel Almiron going to the Premier League. You have to remember a couple things in terms of building your brand in South America. I don't know if River Plate would have gotten this much money for Pitti Martinez as Atlanta United will. River Plate's also going to make money on the deal. There are solidarity payments for previous clubs that happen in these kinds of transfers, and that's something that Merlo reported. So River Plate will make a little bit of money, not a huge amount, but they'll make some money off of it. His original club, Huracan, will make some money off of it. It sounds like Pitti's going to get a nice raise out of it if you start to connect the dots. And, you know, if you're trying to appeal to young South American players, like, hey, you come here, everybody's going to make money on the deal, and you're going to get a chance to be paid more than you would have ever dreamed of. That's a pretty compelling argument there if you want to recruit players.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I need some of that money. Yeah, yeah, let me go get some of that. But hey, about today's match, Jay, I mean, just not one of their better performances this past weekend against Orlando. What are some things that you think that they have to? Well, of course they got to score more goals, but some things that tactical things that you think they might have to change in order to try and get a win tonight.
Have to be better defensively in some individual moments. It's felt like the goals that you're seeing this team concede, and you can go back to the MLS's back tournament included in this conversation. A lot of individual breakdowns, a lot of individual mistakes. Set piece defending has not been where it needs to be. Orlando was a big threat there throughout the first half. They got their first goal there. That changed everything in the match. Atlanta United has to defend set pieces better. And Miami is a team that draws a lot of fouls. They have Rodolfo Pizarro, who has drawn the most fouls in Major League Soccer. Lewis Morgan is one of the best players at delivering set pieces. You have to defend better, but you also have to avoid those situations. Now, flip side is Miami's a team that commits a lot of fouls, and you're going to have opportunities to set pieces of your own, but you have to get numbers forward quicker. The play going forward, the transition from defense to offense when you recover possession has to be faster, and you have to get more bodies forward, more options going forward.
Jason Longshore joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, talking Atlanta United, the Pitty Martinez rumors and match day for Atlanta United tonight against Inter Miami. I saw Joe Patrick tweet this out earlier today, and it was something that I was kind of thinking about and wondering about Monday after the loss to Orlando. It feels like at a lot of times during Atlanta United's existence, we've had a pretty good idea of who they were and who they were trying to be. I think we know who they want to try to become, and you've talked to us quite a bit about what Stephen Glass wants his team to look like. But what is their identity right now? Like, what are they when they go out on the field tonight against Inter Miami, and what do you expect them to look like?
It's incomplete right now because you're missing number seven up top, which gives you a lot of your identity. You know, your goal scorer is always going to give you a huge part of your identity, and you're missing that right now. The players that you're looking at that can help replace that, Ezequiel Barco, not 100% fit. Jürgen Damm, not 100% fit. Kubo Torres, not 100% fit yet. So it's kind of hard to have an expectation that this team would look old right now, because it's not. There's no way it can be. I mean, that's even leaving Joseph to the side right now, which I think has been done far too often when talking about 2020 for Atlanta United. You lose your best player, any team, any sport, you're not going to have the same level of success typically. Are there anomalies? Absolutely. But generally, Jay, when you say your best player, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Sorry to cut you off there. Jay, when you say they're fit, the fit part about it, are you just mainly talking about their conditioner, or could it be a little injury that we don't know about?
It's more fitness with Dom and Torres, because they got here later. Dom had only played 45 minutes this season. Torres hadn't played a whole lot more than that with Tijuana. Then in Mexico, they didn't restart before those guys arrived here in Atlanta. So, you know, the Atlanta United players started training again far before Mexican players did, who were in Mexico at that time. So Dom and Torres are starting from, you know, not the same level of fitness that everybody else was when they came into the team. That takes some time. This crowded schedule makes it difficult as well, because you need them now. You need guys to rotate in. And if that means you're playing Jürgen Damm, you know, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, as you're starting to build up his fitness, you have to do that rather than hold him out so he can get to 90 minutes fitness, because you're playing a bunch of games in a short period of time. It's very difficult. And, you know, we didn't even talk about Stephen Glass coming in as the new manager, and every manager has their own things they want to tweak and change, and we've seen the formation go to four in the back now. That takes a little bit of time to get comfortable as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, these segments are short, because there's so many different things we want to talk about. I've got a million more Pity Martinez questions. I guess if what is being reported or rumored does happen, we've got time to do retrospective conversations on Pity's time here. Say he doesn't play tonight, and say Pity Martinez doesn't play for Atlanta United anymore if he does get transferred. How do they recover from that? We're already trying to talk about recovering from not having Joseph and Barco's hurt. Like, who fills in for Pity Martinez?
That's the interesting thing, because we've been talking about what this lineup could look like when everybody's healthy and how it's going to be hard to fit everybody in. Well, this might open up a spot for some of these players, but then you got to get them fit. You know, if it's Barco, Dom, and Lennon across that front three, then maybe we see what things look like. I don't know, but they're still, this is a rumor out of Argentina. It's not a done deal by any stretch, so wait and see here.
Wait and see. That's where we're at. We appreciate it, Jason. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Have a great call tonight.
Appreciate it, guys.
Jason Longshore there from the Atlanta United broadcast team. Again, if you're just joining us, the rumor out of Argentina is that there's a Saudi Arabian club interested in Pity Martinez. $18 million would be the transfer fee. Sounds like Pity would be making a pretty solid salary over there.
What do you think?
If
you're talking about solid salary, over $5 million?
I don't know. Sure.
Okay.
Something like that. They got, you know, oil's worth a lot of money, Randy.
Yeah, man.
Pay you pretty good over there. AMA coming up next. Any question, any topic, ask away. We will answer. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Any question, any topic to close the show out, the AMA, ask me anything. You can ask me, Randy, Wendy, Brian, all four of us, an open book during the AMA, either on Twitter, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Instagram direct message, Facebook message, phone lines, however you want to ask. Before we ask questions, though, Randy, can I just say something about this Pity Martinez rumor?
I'm listening.
If Pity Martinez does get transferred to Saudi Arabia and has played his last game for Atlanta United, I know we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago. Someone said, would you rather have Barco or Pity? And we both picked Barco.
Right.
I don't even know if I'm going to be sad if Pity Martinez goes. Like, I was so bummed out when Miguel Almiron, and I knew Miguel Almiron had to go, and good for him. But it was such a bummer because he was so much fun. If Pity Martinez goes, like, I think I'm mostly going to be happy that I don't have to be frustrated by Pity Martinez anymore.
Yeah, that could be it. That's not a terrible way to look. I don't need him. You know? I mean, is he helping more than he hurting?
I think he is. Yeah, I think he helps more than he hurts. But he just he's so frustrating to watch sometimes. Like, I was watching the game on Saturday against Orlando. It's just like, do something. Like, stop sulking around and trying to hit, like, the most ridiculous, impossible pass when a simple pass would work. I don't know. Maybe it seems like hindsight now because he might be on his way out and I'm airing my grievances. But he also might be staying. I was just thinking about that a lot on the Orlando game. I was like, this guy bugs me sometimes. I really like to see him play better than he has. Anyway, maybe he'll be in Saudi Arabia for a whole bunch of money. Here's one from Dr. Dreidel. You ready?
Larry.
Swap the two lead characters of any of your favorite movies. What gets you the most ridiculous movie?
Swap the two.
So favorite. Okay, I love Scarface. It's a great movie.
Yes.
I also love the movie Ace Ventura Pet Detective with Jim Carrey.
Okay. All right.
Imagine if Ace Ventura Pet Detective played Tony Montana. That would be a funny movie to see.
Oh, okay. So imagine Kid and Play playing being a king. So imagine Eddie Murphy doing the Kid and Play dance.
Okay, right?
The Kid and Play being there. There we go. So favorite movie, House Party, and then Coming to America.
Yeah. Swap Kid and Play with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan in Russia.
Yeah. There we go.
Pretty good.
I like it.
That's a fun question from Dr. Dreidel. Thank you. I've gotten this question a bunch of times over the last couple of days. Mentioned it earlier, but it's also an AMA question today about whether or not the Braves should try to reach out to Felix Hernandez and get him to opt back in.
No.
I think it's too late for that anyway. Like, I don't think you can do that anymore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.